Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And these boots were made for drinking.
It is a glorious boot, too, Brad. This is not a stein. This is not an Oktoberfest stein. There are no dimples. There is no fancy etching at the bottom. There's no good-looking handle. This is a drinking boot.
Right. So if you're watching the video, you can see the boot. If you're a podcast audio listener, you know, this is a mini from Beer Fest. They drink the boot. Yeah. You got to, like, rotate the boot. This is a mini half-liter boot. This is great from Moor Brewing.
Yeah, so Moor, the original Moor is in Villa Park. And then they got a second location in Huntley. Right.
And then they got Batavia.
Oh, right? That's right, because Moor expanded. I think Moor's got, like, four locations. Okay. So I think it's, like, the... those two Indian brothers that had the liquor store in Villa Park.
Okay.
And that was their first project. And then after that, they started building out Moors.
Right. Moors.
Yeah.
And that's Moor, not Moors.
M-O-R-E.
Yeah.
Not Moors Brewing. M-O-O-R-S. I think Heather Cundert, we had a talk with Heather Cundert about that and the similarity. Actually, I never thought about it.
It's a little confusing.
Moors and Moor.
Right.
And they both make beer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Moors Brewing actually pulled out of 18th Street. Oh. And now they're brewing at some facility. And I picked up a can of theirs, and it says they're brewing in somewhere in Colorado. Bloomfield, Colorado?
Interesting.
No clue who or where that is, but no longer brewed locally, Moors Brewing.
Okay. But in our Moor Brewing boot, we have the Moor Brewing Oktoberfest.
Yes. This is a fantastic beer. This is a Märzen. This is a 5.5. And it's dark brown. It's malty. I don't know. It's going down pretty easy, Brad.
It feels more full-bodied than the Old Irving or the New Glarus one. Mm. Like, it feels like a more richer taste that... you know, maybe it's going to fill you up a little more.
Yeah. It's bordering almost being too full.
Right.
It's on that, it's teetering. It's not tipping the scales. It's at the edge.
Yeah, but that's kind of what you'd expect from more beers. They're kind of a little more big and a little more filling.
Yeah. I was so annoyed with them after Shauna Brewer left to start phase three, and then they were like, yeah, we got 75 barrels here, and we're just going to make the beers. I mean, this is all within their rights to do. Mm-hmm. I was just like, do I like more? I had a phase where I was like, do I still like more?
Right. And where'd you come to? You're back to, you're okay with them?
Yeah, because I've been a couple times. You know, it's, if you're out that way, I think I was out that way looking at houses. Yeah, don't ask me why. I was out there looking at houses, and it was like the perfect spot to go to for lunch. Is fucking
look at houses that way. Why don't you just move to Indiana?
I mean, I was looking in it's not Oak Brook. I worked in Lombard and Oak Brook when I was younger, okay. So I was looking in Lombard, which is kind of like sneaky. Is more affordable, way more affordable than Oak Brook. It was actually doable.
Sure.
Yeah. So I was looking out there, and I went to Moor for lunch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moor Villa Park one.
Yes.
Not Huntley.
No, definitely not Huntley.
Okay. I thought you were looking at houses in Huntley.
Oh no, that's out of
that's
my
range. That's why I'm like, that's far.
That's out of my range, but.
And those are you gotta have a golf course.
Yeah, you need. I think you might need a little more cash up there too. You might not. You know.
It's far.
But it's
my
far.
My dad lives up that way. In Lake in the Hills.
Oh, yeah, which I've heard of. Couldn't tell you where it is, but.
Mm-hmm. That's, like, right there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, back back there a little bit.
You know, out yonder.
Yeah. But I went to more over this past week on my Oktoberfest, I don't know, romp I'm having.
OG Moore, Villa Park.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's where I picked up these cans. And then I was getting the cans and I turned around and I like, well, let's see what glassware they have. Boots. I didn't even notice that they had steins, but boots, like laser
you're,
eyes.
You're drawn into the boot. Yeah. I can remember going somewhere and they had the boot and I was like, you know what? I need this boot. I need to drink out of this boot. It's so fun.
Wait, and we drank at Ravinia Brewing out of the boot when we had their Oktoberfest. Yeah.
Ravinia. Yeah. Because this was around the time of the 312 block party. And our route, and I don't know why, but oh, but it was Metro's Oktoberfest, and then we go to Ravinia.
Then Pilot Project.
And then Pilot Project, and then we went to pretty good day. If I was ranking Beer Pass days,
that'd be up there.
That's top three.
That was
I mean,
one.
We survived it.
I don't think we should have survived that one.
But yeah, but it was fun.
So that was the last time I've drunk out of a boot. Was that? Mm. Oh yeah, you gotta
turn the boot.
You gotta rotate. Can't do that. You get too many air bubbles.
Oh man,
watch out. That's the danger about the boot drinking. It doesn't handle the liquid.
This
was
in the movie. I remember this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was there. Saw that. I did not drink the Oktoberfest when I was there because I knew I was gonna pick it up to go. And
okay.
I was like, well, I want to waste what I'm going to drink for more on their Oktoberfest because I'm taking that to go.
Yeah.
I had a couple things. I had like a pale ale and an IPA. Their menu is a little overwhelming.
Some people would refer to them as the TGI Fridays or the Chili's of craft beer. It's kind of like we got this format, you know, let's cut and repeat, let's rinse and repeat. And yeah, a lot of standard American fare. But they do a good job with. They do a good job with having a ton of their own beers on draft.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Like fucking like more than 10.
Oh, I think it was like 20
See?
Beers.
Yeah.
There's like a weird, some were sour. Then there's like IPAs listed as like sour. It was just like a little confusing, a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I couldn't even remember. I don't even know what a more staple is.
That's true. I know they're into, you know, they're kind of like the cool kid breweries. They're into sick hazies, you know, pastry stouts and fucking fruited sours, right?
Right.
But then they also lean into beers like this too. So.
But then if you're like, this was our second stop. We'll talk about the first stop. But you're like, I don't want a big hazy.
No.
I got stops to make here. Like what? Where's your Pilsner?
Yeah.
Where's your Kolsch here?
Which I feel like not needing Kolsch, but they should have those things too.
Right. Yeah. But they were good beers. Not my favorite, and it wasn't like making me like want to go to more again.
Well, I think last time I went, I had like a blueberry crumble thing.
Okay.
But it was a fruit sour inspired by like blueberry cobbler or something.
Yeah.
It was an insane like 8% fucking thing, and I'm like, all right, well, mm-hmm. I'm gonna get a 4-pack of this and
and go to sleep.
Yeah.
I do like Moore's food, and that's sometimes a draw to go there. It's like, oh, this is pretty tasty food.
Especially since we've been having this talk lately about, you know, what are places, and we were talking places in the city that nail it for beer and food. If Moore were in the city, they would be on the list.
Right.
I mean, because their food's good.
Those Italian beef egg rolls.
I mean, come on. Are you kidding me?
That's amazing.
Dude, honestly, I like their, every time I go, I really like their food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was our stop number two. And it was also pretty packed with lots of family.
Yeah.
And I think my watch went off on like a sound level. You know how like you can have your decibel levels of sound? That's how loud it was in there. And then two tables of families left. You could actually have a conversation at your table then. It was like crazy. Just like there is no sound dampening in that place.
Interesting. I think all bets are off with the type of people that go to these places now. You know, like they're just like, it's insane to hear these bubbles all
you got to drink.
You know, because it's like, well, you know, beer as a category is shrinking. So it's like, Well, shit.
It's just a restaurant.
It's right. It's a restaurant for a lot of folks.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was saying this was our second stop because before that, and the reason I was even out near Villa Park, was going to Phase 3 in Elmwood. Or Elmhurst. Elmhurst.
Yeah, Phase 3 in Elmhurst.
Newest location.
Yeah, it's like less than 2 miles from Moore, which is funny because the guy who started Phase 3, the head brewer, the manager, and the art director all left to go start Phase 3.
Yeah.
And they all started at Moore. Well, they were at Moore previous to Phase
3. Now they're in Moore's backyard.
Yeah.
In the speaking of places you can't afford.
Yeah.
It's Elmhurst.
Yeah. Not looking for houses. Definitely not looking for houses in fucking Elmhurst.
Right. No, you're looking for castles when you're in Elmhurst.
Yeah.
But there, so the Phase 3 there is right in there, I guess, downtown?
It's very much like Main Street.
Have you been?
Downtown USA. I have been.
Oh.
Yes.
Cute and quaint. There's also like a bottle shop nearby,
yeah,
right?
Over there?
Yeah.
I'm drawing a blank if there is.
My aunt, who we were there with, mentioned she wanted to go there because they had some barley wines on, and she wanted to go.
To the bottle shop?
Yeah.
So the bottle shop has pours, too.
Yeah.
This sounds fun.
It's like a bottles and cans type place.
Okay. It might actually, you know, bottles and cans has multiple locations. It might be bottles and cans.
Yeah.
Or it could be
I'm blanking.
Crafted or something.
No, it wasn't Crafted. No. I feel like it started with a B.
I don't know.
We could look
this
it up
is too, good to know though, because you know Kim's uncle, which is used to be at Maria's. It used to be in the pizza fried chicken space next to Maria's at Kimski's right there.
Yeah.
Kim's uncle is in Westmont. And Westmont's not terribly far from like Elmhurst.
Oh, okay.
So
that's the pizza place.
Yeah.
The pizza place. Okay. Yeah.
People go. I sat outside and had that pizza one time. I can only judge pizzas on having them there.
Okay.
But I would go back to fucking Westmont for Kim's uncle.
Yeah. We could make a trip and just do pick up pizza there and go over to Bubble House.
Bubble House. You can go to Goldfinger. You can go to we probably wouldn't go to Emmett's out there.
No.
No. But Goldfinger and Bubble House are on the table.
I don't know. We might have to look at this. I got Riverlands this weekend, so
okay.
We might have to
okay.
push back a weekend.
Are you doing your zombie Lederhosen thing?
Just regularly.
Okay, regular Lederhosen. But you're doing Lederhosen.
Yeah, got my Lederhosen.
Okay.
Pressed and you know, no.
No, it's important, you know. Yeah. You wanna look good. You know?
So but anyway, back to Phase 3. This place is beautiful.
It's a nice space.
Inside.
It's cute.
I am not a Phase 3 fanboy.
No.
I only drink it when Nick brings it.
I will be enough of a Phase 3 fanboy for the two of us, Brad. Yeah.
I've had plenty of Phase 3 beer. I enjoy it. And they make, along with more, they have a very big menu.
Yeah.
They have plenty more like staples, like the Pixel, I think is their
water IPAs.
IPAs, that's like their regular IPA. They had a Kolsch, or no, they had a, they didn't have a Kolsch, they had a Pilsner.
Yeah.
Their Pilsner was tasty.
They do a slow pour on one of these beers, either one of the pils or the lager.
Yeah.
A little dimpled mug.
And they also had Oktoberfest. I didn't get it because I did pick up cans, so maybe we're going to drink that on the next episode.
Okay.
Of their Oktoberfest and Fest beer. So.
That's interesting. You know, I like Phase 3. You know, I've just followed the frenzy ever since the guy was at Ram in Schaumburg. Right?
Okay.
But what I did notice about Phase 3 was, like, I did a lineup of, I think it was Hefeweizens or Lagers one time, and that's when I realized, oh, shit, this is what makes, at the time, Metropolitan so special, because I had, like, an 18th Street Pils and the Phase 3 Pils, and then I had the Old World Pils from, you know, I don't know, one of the, you know, Hacker Shore or whoever the fuck.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm like, oh, I understand why these Old World Pils and the Metro Pils are so special, because these other guys, it's either thinner or it's just insanely fucking hoppy.
Overly hoppy.
Yeah. So it's like, but I learned that dealing with Phase 3.
Right. But whatever the Pilsner I had, I think it was a Pilsner. It was solid.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, I don't even remember the name. That's how like, it didn't like blow my mind, but it was like, oh, okay, that's good. What next sort of thing. I feel like with more and phase three, you're always like, as you're drinking, even your first sip, you're thinking about what's the next one you're going to have. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, it doesn't even matter if this is good or bad. I'm going to get something else because I'm just going to try. And I'm not even going to remember what this one was. It's like a weird feeling.
They did a good job with the space at phase three, Elmer's. And then for people who like phase three, you know, it's like 20 miles closer to Chicago.
It's super from my house there. 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it's about 45 minutes from like my mom and aunt's where they live. So it's good. Like, it's like a perfect halfway point.
Yeah.
And they have food.
Right.
Like,
which,
full menu.
Lake Zurich does not. Okay. Lake Zurich P3 does not.
And a pretty solid smash burger.
Yeah.
Not, it's right there of like a mid smash burger.
Mid cart. Not the main event. It's like at the front of the card. If you're doing a wrestling show, it's like one of the first matches. It's not. It's mid card at best. Not.
Yeah, maybe it's winning the first round, but okay. It's not. Yeah. It's not winning that second round at all. And so it was fine.
Yeah.
It looks like they had a lot of other stuff. They had a pork schnitzel on sandwich, a handful of other menu items that I'd probably get over the burger if I went back.
Yeah.
Or when I go back. I'll probably go back. I like the space a lot. It was cool.
Usually end up there on New Year's Day for the cellar raid. It used to be in Lake Zurich, and now they hold it at Elmer. So that's, I go like once a year.
Yeah. The amount of people just coming in and buying beer and cases to go is kind of nuts. Like, they have a whole separate area in there just of people to buy beer to go.
I don't know if, you know, we talk about the connection between Moore and Phase 3, and I don't know if Moore is the same way, but Phase 3 seems to be kind of hanging their hat on this. You want to have our specialty beers to celebrate an occasion. You want to have these barrel-aged wax beers to celebrate an occasion all year long. You know, they got this Unoya series, and, you know, I think Arabesque is their barley wine series, and then they have, they just have an extended barrel-aging program where it seems like they're releasing new. They don't have a barrel age season. It's barrel aged all year long.
Okay.
With those guys. And I've gone out my way to go to Moore because I think I put it on the feed once. There's a cool picture of like an old Rip Van Winkle bottle of whiskey because Moore put their one of their beers in an old Rip bottle, old Rip barrel.
Okay.
So I don't know if Moore does it all year, but they both do a good job with their barrel programs in addition to all the other stuff we're talking about.
But these two places being basically a mile apart now,
yeah,
there's no reason, if you're a fan of one of these, you're probably a fan of the other one, or you hate. You're either like, you either love them both or you hate one of them over the other one, right?
It's interesting, yeah. I think you're probably more likely to just enjoy the category and be excited that you can go to both.
Right, you can just go to both very easily now. And then you can throw in your third stop, which I did.
Yeah.
Lunar.
As you should, Brad.
Now, Nick and I have talked about Lunar before. We went on a winter day. I think it might have been my, like, birthday.
It was like that week, right?
And I was just like, I'm off work today. What do you want to do? Let's go, Nick.
I actually thought we were going to Huntley.
Yeah, we thought we were going to Huntley, too. And I put in the Villa Park more.
Yeah.
And we ended up more.
Which ended up being, you know.
Right. We would have done a third stop. We almost did. Isn't there
Elmer's Brewing Company, which we haven't talked about, which is weird because that's part of that route. There's Standard Meadery, which is right there. So you could expand it.
We only did two stops. I don't know why we didn't do three.
Well, you know, it's winter. We had our fill.
Yeah.
Well, let's get out of here.
So Nick and I, when we went to Lunar before, it was like 3 o'clock on a Friday.
Something like that, yeah.
Not the crowd you want to be at the bar with. Those are the people you're like, oh, we're one of these people that are drinking, like, not with family on, like, a holiday time.
You start to wonder if you want to be in this club
that you
see yourself in.
The choices I made in life
right.
led me to Lunar at 3 o'clock on a Friday.
I mean, it was some of that. Sure, sure. There was some of that. Yeah.
But we went after going to Phase 3 more. Maeve and I, my uncle and my aunt went. Delightful dive bar.
Yeah.
And it felt like a dive bar. and I had their Oktoberfest. I think my uncle might have had their Oktoberfest or their IPA. My aunt got a Deep Woods.
Oh, at Lunar?
Yeah.
Nice.
And then Maeve got a Robert the Bruce.
Oh, shit.
And then we're sitting next to the, I didn't know this existed, but you know how you have a card table?
Yeah.
These are high top card tables that fold up next to that. And we're like, I didn't know you could have fold up high tops.
You learn something new every day. I feel like good for them for having, like, you know, not being afraid to have some good ass local beers.
Yeah.
To complement whatever they're doing over there.
Their Oktoberfest, it's low on our lineup. We've only had three of them. It's at the bottom.
Now, Lunar is kind of like it's basically a glorified, like, homebrew setup, right?
Where are they brewing at in
this place? I don't know. I tell you, man, the one time I went to Hamburger Mary's in Andersonville when it was a brewery, they walk you through the kitchen. They got spaghetti going right here. Three eyes over, they got the pot for the brew kettle.
Right. I feel like that's what Moore's got going on. We sat there for a long time just kind of talking, kind of in that phase of like, are we getting another beer? Or are we just kind of chatting? We just ended up chatting.
Should we just get a shot of JMO?
Right. But the brewer, which you know, like we recognize this brewer.
Okay. He's like,
he's been around. He walked by. He's like, oh, your glasses are empty. What are you guys doing? I was like, oh, that's the brewer.
Mm.
I don't know his name, but you know him. He's friends with
him,
Crowley and Jeff Sparrow. Like he runs with that crew.
Okay. Yeah. What's he making over there, man? So what you drank the Oktoberfest.
Right. And my uncle had that IPA from that.
All
right.
You go small pours? Big regular?
I would. Full on Stein. I think it was a Stein.
It's fall.
Yeah.
Bring it on. What do you got? If you say you can draw me a horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fine. It wasn't bad. I was recently in Madison and I had a canned beer from Saturday Beer.
Okay.
And it was at a restaurant, and I had to be like, this beer is bad.
You're like, fuck this beer.
It tastes like corn, cream corn.
Yeah.
Or no, it smelled like butter.
Uh-huh.
Butter popcorn. I was like, this is an IPA, and it's infected.
Yeah.
So it was, Lunar's not making infected beer. Okay. It's just not, top tier beer.
Fair.
So, but Lunar. I feel like we gave Lunar a bad rep, and I was kind of maybe talking about Lunar to my aunt and uncle, and like, I don't know, this place is weird.
Yeah, well, it probably sounds as though it's still weird.
Yeah.
They still got the strobe light and all this kind of shit.
Right, but it was very Halloween decorated. Mm-hmm. We went there around Christmas time.
Yeah.
And it's just a dive bar. Like, that's probably the best way. And we went to a dive bar at 3 o'clock on a Friday.
You know, and Lunar is, when you talk about Elmhurst or Elmhurst Brewing Company or Standard Meadery or, you know, or Phase 3 or more, Lunar predates all those guys by like 15 years. Lunar's the oldest brewery over there.
Right.
It's one of the oldest breweries
in the state.
Yeah.
Right? At this point.
Exactly.
Like Emmett's, Lunar, Goose Island.
Wild Onion. Yeah.
Yeah.
These are all like 90s. All these breweries we just named, 90s, 80s.
So the fact that Lunar is still there doing their thing, they don't need to change it because it's a bar. It just happens to be beer.
Exactly. Yeah, and sometimes that's okay. I think Industry Ales Downtown is kind of falling into that.
Right.
You know, they lead, when you open their menu, it leads with like, you know, wine and cocktails. Like you don't even get to the beer until you get flipped like the third page. But it's a brand new brewery. And sometimes that's okay.
Right. Like even we talk about Bishi sometimes. Bishi's a brewery that doesn't really lead with their beer.
No, it's more of an Asian restaurant that does cocktails.
And I think that's an okay place to get to at this point as breweries have more trouble.
Yeah.
It's like you can brew your own beer, but you can have other stuff and just kind of like it's almost like making your own desserts at this point. Like
it's almost like
baking your own bread.
See, you don't go to and a lot of times, like if you go to a brewery, like you're naming, you don't go to a brewery six deep with like hardcore beer nerds necessarily anymore. I haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah.
So you're probably going to these breweries with people that like other things, and it's like, oh, I'll go to this beer place because Brad likes beer or because Nick likes beer, not because I'm into beer. So when you look at it like that, like beers, it's cool that beer is integrated into these larger conversations.
Yeah.
You know? So that's cool. You know, food, cocktails, you know, just a cool dive bar. It doesn't have to be like a beer-centric place to be a brewery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think you or both of us need to go revisit Lunar and give it like another proper look.
I would go to Elm. If I went, I would probably go to Elmhurst and go to Standard Meadery because I haven't been to those places.
Okay.
I've only been to Elmhurst like once. Elmhurst Brewing Company, EBC. I feel like there's something else over there too. Oh, I'm probably going to end up at Art History. I want to try these smoked beers.
But Art History is way farther.
Is Art History not out that? Man, when I leave and go west.
This is why you're going to work first and then going to Art History.
Exactly. I get so confused on where stuff is. I'm thinking I leave the city and it's all West Burbs, and it's not. It's everything's like 45 minutes away.
I also think you kind of threw Goldfinger and.
Is Goldfinger close to Elmhurst?
Not really. It's on the other side of the expressway. Noon Whistle's close. Because Noon Whistle's in Lombard.
My perception is off. First of all, there's no lake. So I can't know. Like from here, we are for sure 3 or 4 miles from the lake.
You got to use the expressways.
Okay. Like, so the expressway is kind of like your measure for the instead of a lake.
It's rivers.
Okay. Like, all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
More. Phase 3, Noon Whistle, Lunar, they're all on
That's one romp.
On one side of 88.
Yeah.
And then the other side is your Goldfinger and your...
That's your Downers Grove, and you're closer to like your Naperville's. Because after Downers Grove is Naperville.
Yeah, Naperville kind of is on both sides, but yeah.
All right. See, I'm glad we brought this up because my perception is off.
Yeah, use the expressways as like rivers.
I'm thinking all
kinda.
I'm thinking all this shit's like 10 minutes apart. And it is for sure not.
No.
So I'm glad we brought it up.
But then, next weekend, heading back out that way, going to Riverlands.
Okay.
Maybe go to your Art History, your Penrose, and Geneva Lava Works.
Yeah, if they're even open to the public.
That's
the romp.
That's right there. And then I think whatever the Black Lung might be out there.
Round Lake Beach?
The second one. The one on the water.
Yeah.
The one on the river.
Is it still open though? It might be seasonal.
I don't know. I think that one's over there too, but someone won't go there.
Okay.
Right. But that's that spot.
Yeah. I need to get out, man. I haven't gotten out. I've been in a slump and I'm trying to. And what I was telling Brad in the pre-show, I think the way to get out the slump is to identify your route. You go and find a cluster of breweries, and then you hit and tag those breweries.
You go get Goldfinger's Oktoberfest, and go get
Is our history by Goldfinger?
No.
Shit. I'll figure out what's by Goldfinger. Goldfinger is the starting point.
Right.
And then figure out what's after Goldfinger.
You got the place that has like 3 locations that are all the same.
Emmett's?
No. Alter.
Oh yeah.
Alter's like kind of right there.
Okay.
Both altars are kind of right there. And Bubble House.
And Bubble House.
Yeah. Although Bubble House and Uncle Kim's.
Kim's uncle.
Kim's uncle. Do we pick up Kim's uncle, go to Bubble House, and then use the pizza phone and order a second pizza?
And see, and just do a little bit, have a little pizza showdown.
Pizza, beer showdown.
If you get a small pizza at both, you probably could.
Right.
Yeah. You know? You probably could. It's good weather too. You probably sit outside at both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was all my stops this past week, which was a pretty good run.
I'd say you did good.
Okay.
You know, you got boots.
Yeah, boots.
You know, and then we're understanding, you know, the proximity of things once you go west of Chicago.
Right.
You know, and then more importantly, you hit up one of the oldest breweries in the state. And
one of the newest brewery locations.
One of the newest brewery locations in phase 3. Because I think after phase 3 opened, I think maybe Is was opened.
The more Batavia might have opened after.
There's a more in Batavia?
Yeah.
No shit. I think Batavia, I think Energy City. And I think...
right. And
the really good one that no one talks about.
Sturdy Shelter.
Yeah, Sturdy Shelter.
Sturdy Shelter. I bet they have a good Oktoberfest.
That's a good romp too. That's a good run.
Energy City definitely doesn't have an Oktoberfest.
No.
But Sturdy Shelter probably does.
Yeah.
There you go. There's also a good burger place right by Sturdy Shelter.
It is?
I It's like two floors.
The burger joint?
Yeah.
What they call it? I want to go.
Yeah, there's a burger place right there on the other side of the river.
Okay.
But you could probably grab it to go and go to City Shelter.
This is a little more ambitious than just going to Elmer's.
Yeah, Batavia's.
It is. Now we're talking edge of the earth.
Because Batavia, you got those and you have a 98 octane.
Yeah, 98 octane. Or you could go to that. What's the place that's a brewery and a meadery? They got the big ass bumblebee or moth or something as their logo. Mm. Obscurity.
Oh, yeah. You got that up there.
I'm probably not going back to Obscurity, though, to be honest with you. But you should go to Reams, the meat place, when you're out there.
Oh, yeah. Phase 3 uses Reams meat.
Oh.
Reams?
Yeah. Reams is the real deal. It's like what Paulina Meat Market should be.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like Paulina Meat Market is like whatever. Reams is here, and then Paulina is the whatever the tier below that is.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Now we're just riffing.
Yeah. All right. So then that's my stuff. Who knows where Nick gets to on this next episode. We'll see. And we're either drinking phase 3 or maybe I'll come back with some Riverlands or something like that.
Okay.
You had some info about the Beguile.
Yeah, we were talking about the Beguile because I was listening to Kevin Carey, who needs to come on the show. We were listening to him talk about, just the importance of a tap room, but how tap rooms have evolved over time and how, now tap rooms, now they have food 4 days a week at the old Beguile.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
With the food trucks.
Exactly, with food trucks.
Because like we said, there's no reason to go to a brewery unless there's food.
Yeah. I mean, snacks is one thing if you just want to have an IPA and some chips and then leave. But ideally, you kind of want to have some food. And he was saying how, even though they're on a 10-barrel system, I think Jay Wakefield was the topic, and he was comparing Jay Wakefield's reason to shut down his tap room and change his entire business model, comparing that to Beguile. So Beguile is a 10-barrel system. But, it takes a lot to clean a 10-barrel system or 15-barrel system. And no one really cares if you contract your beer somewhere else and, you have a tap room, which is what Beguile's been doing because they've outgrown their 10-barrel system for like 8 years now.
Right.
So we checked in with Beguile, I think they were brewing at Great Central because you would see their beers on draft. And then it was kind of a known thing. You'd look at the can and you'd see it. But now it sounds like Beguile is pulled out of Great Central, and now they're brewing at Haymarket, and not the one in West Loop, but the production facility up in Bridgman, Michigan, Southwest Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I said there's no reason to go to a brewery unless they have food, but there's it's not the right way to say that. There's just a driving force of the two things, being at a location, eating and drinking. You can go drink at a brewery after you ate, usually, but you're not usually leaving the house like you would just go to a bar to just go to a brewery anymore because you're usually with other people who want other things to drink, not just beer. So
I get it. It makes sense.
Yeah. So Beguile having these food trucks now makes a lot of sense because also Dovetail benefits from that. They sometimes have different food trucks and Dovetail offered sausages and pretzels sometimes. And so they had snacks.
Yeah.
But on the contract brewing, who's brewing at Great Central now? Maplewood?
Right. It wouldn't be a bad idea to just go to Great Central. They have house beers at Great Central.
If you don't want to go far, there's a romp. Go to Great Central, see what's happening on tour.
Oh, yeah, I haven't been on tour in a while.
And you got Goose.
And Goose, yeah. And shout out to Goose because the barrel warehouse is 10 years old. So today they were throwing a party. It wasn't at the Brewer House, so they were tapping beers at Fulton in celebration. So some fancy beers from their vault, like a barley wine from 2015, Prop 2014, something they came out with last year called Tusk, which I think is like a barley wine, barrel-aged stout hybrid. They were tapping some fun barrel-aged stuff at Fulton in honor of the 10th anniversary of the Brewer House, the one on Sacramento.
Yeah. I know they... So what? 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks, they had the Oktoberfest.
I think it was last weekend.
At Salt Shed.
Yes.
And now they're doing this tapping at the Fulton. I understand you have two locations. You want people to go to both of them. One needs to be like your party space, and one needs to just be the just the bar or the place of the restaurant. Like, this, do all your events at Fulton, because there's zero reason to go to Fulton, right?
I'm so confused by this because, you know, and I fuck with Goose. You know, I think, like, in the early stages of just trying to find my voice, you know, listen to New Brew Thursday. We talk about this all the time. Listen to New Brew Thursday. Listen to the Hopcast, right? And that was like, Goose was the crew that when you talk about Goose and like post stuff for Goose, I feel like other crews in town were like, oh, they must be okay because Goose fucks with them.
Yeah.
You know? And then so I really dig Goose. But this is a weird thing for me because like Sunday Funday or that closed out Chicago Craft Beer Week, that shit was at the Barrel Warehouse, right? And it was a blowout all day, like a proper, or the original Bourbon County Rare Day 2015, that was at the Barrel Warehouse. You know, even when we go do the sampling tastings, that's at the Barrel Warehouse. So this this thing about, hey, it's a 10-year recognition of the Barrel Warehouse and it's not at the Barrel Warehouse, this shit is weird for me. Like,
yeah, you know? I can see that. And just like, I'm thinking the Oktoberfest should have been at Fulton because you could have gone into the street a little bit. The salt shed is hard to park at and weird to get to.
And, you know, and then the parking lot is like a $40 play because the parking lot owners is independent from Salt Shed and Goose.
Right, and you kind of want to – it is – I've been there and just stood and drank kind of at some of the, like, standing areas at Salt Shed. But it's awkward because everyone's there to eat.
Oh, like in the tap room.
Right. Okay. So or in the brew pub. If your Oktoberfest was at Fulton, it's just the drinking. Maybe you have some pretzels and pub chips kind of thing. But
if you're looking at profits and losses, you got to justify this salt shed play.
Sure.
I mean, guess, right?
Yeah.
But from an experience standpoint, right. Fulton's you would go to Fulton.
I don't know. I was like, wonder.
Yeah.
I feel like Goose often does. Yeah. They're at this point, they are obviously no better than I do because they're like sold to AB. This big company. They're the ones that are still with AB. Yeah. So they're doing something right, but it feels like moves that they do often are like, I think you should just done this differently? Like, did you guys not think about this? But you're also reaching a different audience than maybe you're not reaching me, and so but you're getting new people.
You wonder who these moves are for,
right?
And that's a fair observation. I wonder that too.
Right. They have two groups of people, which are we need new drinkers, Salt Shed.
Yeah.
And we need old drinkers, Fulton.
Yeah.
So we do all Bourbon County barrel stuff at Fulton.
Yeah.
Anything kind of, we're just here to get drunk, that's a Salt Shed.
Yeah. I think those are the swim lanes. Yeah. Because I think if they do Prop Day this year, it's probably going to be at Fulton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'll see. But yeah, I thought about going to that today.
Okay.
And I just didn't. I'm in a slump. But I think to get out of my slump, I think you're right. I think I haven't been on tour in a while, and they do like Grateful Dead stuff during the summer. I wonder if that.
I think they have an Oktoberfest too.
You know, I would do. I think that's a good rhyme. Gray Central, see what's on draft. Fucking Fulton, fucking on tour. That's a good one. I like that.
Right. You got District Brew Yards right there. I'm gonna go to District Brew Yards next week too.
BYB. I haven't. Yeah. So. Good call.
So, but to come back around to Haymarket. So all these people are brewing now in Haymarket in Michigan. Kind of makes it sad for Haymarket as a brewery of Chicago that, like, no one really cares about Haymarket beer. So it's smart that they're like,
you got to pivot. It's like we either pivot or we turn the shit off.
Right.
Right. So
they, using their contacts to be like, come brew in Michigan. Your beer can probably be distributed to Michigan very easily. And we got the space.
Yeah, they got space. I think it's an old, police station that had a helipad.
Right.
Yeah.
And all these people are gonna trust Pete Crawley, and who's ever brewing there with him or for him, to make better beer or more consistently than maybe Great Central was.
Exactly, and and Begal made it a point to say how they were super excited with the performance of Haymarket in a contract brewing capacity.
Yeah.
So good for them. Yeah, these breweries, man, like Haymarket, I think, came online in like 2010-ish, or even Goose in 1988, right? Like these things, to stay afloat for all these years, you know, you're going to have to, if you're not constantly changing, your profits are probably not going
to
grow.
Right. Yeah. And I haven't been to Haymarket in a long time, but I'm interested to know if you can drink everyone else's beer there, or if they're like just kind of,
yeah.
No, we're just Haymarket beer.
Because that's
through those other ones.
That I was, we used to live near 18th Street, and I always wanted to try Moore's at 18th Street, and I couldn't. But I wonder now 18th Street just had one guest contract, Moore's, but with Haymarket's doing this thing where they're doing multiples. I wouldn't mind seeing, because Haymarket is known to have guest traps.
Right.
I wouldn't mind having those beers on. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of the same thing we complain about. I was complaining about this to the Sipes lady when I went to this Milwaukee thing at Pilot Project Fest. The Sipes lady was there.
Yeah.
And I was telling her about, we were talking about Guinness and how it's a destination brew pub, but it feels like Navy Pier because they don't have every Guinness you can get from around the world on draft, even if you do it for just a day or a week. You know, you should be able. Guinness has so many variants of this stout that I've seen over the years that if you can have them all at the Chicago Guinness, that would make it way more interesting as a hardcore beer drinker. You know, so kind of along the same lines, like
yeah.
Haymarket. That'd be cool if Haymarket did that, because Haymarket's done takeovers.
That's true.
You know, they've done tap takeovers before.
They've done those Fobab
thing. Mini Fobab, yeah. So yeah, that's a good call. I want to see if they do that, and I also want to see if Maplewood has done They did a collab with Phase 3 where they just took the Yanoya recipe and the Cuppa recipe and blended it.
Mm.
I want to see if that's on draft or bottle pour at Maplewood. Those are things I'd like to do.
Look at this. If you leave the house, Nick, you can go learn all this stuff.
Look at this. Get out and do stuff. He's not wrong. He's not wrong.
The world is your oyster. Cool. All right. I think that's going to do it. Boots success? I could never chug a boot. I would be terrible at that.
No. This would end up being like something you just put flowers in and stick it in like the bathroom.
Right. It's basically going to go on the shelf and just come out, you know, every, you know, October fest time, or funny glassware when you're like, someone's like, oh, can I get a glass? And you give them a boot.
Yeah. It'd be good. It'd be awesome. If I said, can I get some water, and you pull this out, I'd be the happiest. Be the happiest glass of water I ever had.
All right. That's going to do it. We'll be back with another episode soon, talking about Riverlands, Nick's trips to on tour in Maplewood.
He's
and
calling it.
Goldfinger. All right. Take care.
Cheers.